Time for our weekly session with Bill Belichick. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good. Good, Glenn. Fred, Steve, how you guys
coach,
doing?
Coach.
It's kind of strange. It seems like
it's
been...
a little leftovers?
We always look at your beans.
Leftovers, Davios.
He sees our stomach sticking out. Oh, a lot of beef into that boy.
Just look at us and see if you think there's leftovers. Come on, please. It seems like it was ages ago when you played this football game. I mean, last Thursday. So we'll spend a couple of minutes, do it quickly on this Detroit game because most people have gone over it a million times, and then we'll get right to the week, the long week with the Jets. Obviously, second half. And you guys just dominated in that second half.
Well, a lot of things went well for us there. You know, Devin's interception I thought was a big play in the game. That kind of turned things around. They were getting a little – trying to get a little momentum going, and that turned around. We turned that into points, and, you know, Deion had a couple big plays in the second half. Defensively, we, you know, were able to get him stopped, and so, you know, things fell into place.
Early on, Hill was trouble. He moves pretty well in the pocket. It doesn't look like he does, but he moves and he sets up and finds his guys downfield, similar to what he did when he was in San Fran. But he has a tendency to get a little wild. But he was moving and finding open guys for him early.
Yeah, absolutely. Fred, he definitely hurt us with the scrambles in the first half and a couple times there on third down. We looked like we had him and then either didn't take a good angle or he just outran us or however you want to call it. But he got away and picked up a couple first downs with his legs there where actually I thought we had pretty good coverage on the play. So he, you know, he did a good job on that and got a couple good matchups there with Calvin Johnson and hit him. So, but they're a good offensive football team. They've had good production offensively and, you know, good two-minute team and so forth. I mean, we didn't, you know, play that situation particularly well either, but you got to give them credit. They're a good offensive team. They can move the ball. They can throw it, and they have a lot of good receivers and tight ends.
But on those, when he ran for it, he just doesn't look like he's running that fast. And I wonder that why maybe people look at him starting to run and they get the wrong angle at him because he doesn't look like he's moving that fast.
He's deceptive, but he's always been able to do that against who was it this year? He had a 50-yard run against somebody earlier in the year. I'm trying to remember. Was it Green Bay or somebody? I think it might have been Green Bay where he just – pulled it down in man coverage and got about 30 yards down the field and then beat a couple other guys and, you know, turned into a long play. So,
but Devin McCourty had another big day, and I'll be the first to admit I knew nothing about him when you drafted him. Did you see his development coming along this fast, or is he ahead of the curve?
Well, I think he's really improved a lot, Steve, over the course of the year, and he works very hard. He's you know, a very diligent worker. He really takes coaching well, tries to do exactly what you ask him to do. And I think he's improved a lot on his coverage techniques and playing the ball, and certainly that's helped his confidence and so forth. So, you know, he's basically started for us from day one, right from the beginning. But a lot of things have improved, and I think he's done a good job. So a couple big plays there. You know, he's been turning them up here last few weeks, so it's been great.
All right, let's move on and get to this Jets game. Even though it's 7 days away, it's hard to believe it's that far away. Both of these teams, Bill, have actually changed since the first time you guys faced off with each other. They've got some new personnel, some guys back, including a suspended player. And you've got one of their players right now that's a prominent player with you. And obviously you've changed your receiver core. How different are these two teams now?
Well, I think there's some differences. A lot of the matchups are similar or the same as what they've been over the previous years or in the first game. But there's some changes, but that's the way it usually is when you play a team the second time around. The Jets are a good football team. They do a lot of things well. They're good in the kicking game. They're good on defense. They got a good running game. They got some big play receivers and tight ends. Quarterbacks played well. Thing about the Jets is they played well at critical times. They've been behind and come back and won games in overtime and at the end. They've had the lead and been able to protect it and played good defense. And so I think you see them really making the plays that they have to make when they have to make them. That's a sign of a good football team. So they've done that.
Sanchez, last year, obviously a rookie. And in games like last week, he was shaky, and then it comes down to crunch time, and he hit some unbelievably big passes and looked very confident. Does he seem more comfortable with the wide-open offense and less comfortable with the kind of controlled, measured offense that he runs earlier? Because when they take the leash off, he seems to be very productive.
Well, he certainly had some big two-minute drives for him at the end of games or also at the end of the half. You know, he did that against us, took him down, got a field goal right at the end of the first half in our first game. So I think you've got to respect what he does. It's not always perfect, but it's been good at critical times, and he's shown that he can throw the ball, he can scramble and find uncovered receivers, and he can manage the game and play action pass and run the ball and do those things. So, again, I just think you got to give him credit. They're a good football team. He's part of it.
You see, in his evolution as a quarterback, you see that as him being more controlled out there, not as anxious to get the playoff, is one of the big things he's improved on.
Well, I think probably the big thing for him this year is it looks like he hasn't forced the ball in at times or as much as he has at some other times in his rookie year. He's taken what the defense gives him. Sometimes that's a throwaway. Sometimes it's a sack. Sometimes it's dropping the ball off to Tomlinson or Green or somebody like that and not trying to jam it downfield into tough coverage. So yeah, I think he's done a good job of seeing those things.
Is their defense playing as well as they did last year?
Well, I think they're a good defensive football team. They can stop the run. They can put pressure on the quarterback. They play a lot of man coverage. You know how that goes. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's if you beat them, you can make a big play on it. So they've made a lot of plays. They've given up some, but you know, I think overall, you know, they really challenge it defensively. Their pressure packages, their tight man coverage, their physicalness up front and stopping the run. So I think they do all those things well and. Sometimes it's better than others, but, you know, on balance, won 9 games, so it's been pretty good.
Coach, people look at the Jets as a blitzing team. Actually, how many times per game do you think they blitz?
Quite a bit. Got to be close to 50%.
And they use a lot of the smoke and mirrors to try and fake the blitz to keep your personnel in, and then they drop off.
Right. They do that, or they, with their 3-4 defense, or when they get to sub, when they only have a lot of times one defensive lineman on the game, four, and then six defensive backs. Or the guys you think are rushing don't always rush. The guys you think are covering don't always cover. So they do a good job of mixing that up. Whether you want to call those blitzes or not just depends on how you identify their defense. If you identify a certain group of players as linebackers and DBs and they rush, then you consider it a blitz. If you identify them differently, then you consider him one of the rushers. But the bottom line is they change it up on you. They give you some different looks there, and so you have to be ready for a lot of different guys to rush the passer. It could be any 4 or 5 of 7 or 8 different guys. So it forces you to be careful with your protections and make sure that everybody's seeing it the same way so you have them all accounted for.
With the extra days, do you have a little bit more time, and I know you gave the guys 4 days off, to emphasize some things that maybe you wouldn't do in a normal week? I'm looking at the special teams, and Brad Smith has been a killer for them, putting a lot of points up on the board. Do you emphasize some certain things that you might not be able to do on another given week?
Well, sure. I think anytime you have an extra time for a game, you take that extra time and prioritize whatever it is you want to prioritize, whether it's something that they do or something that you want to spend more time on that you feel like you'll need that'll help you win the game. And definitely we'll do that. Sure, we'll take advantage of the extra time this week and try to, identify things that we need extra work on for the Jets or something that we feel like will help us if we can do it well.
Coach, everyone always makes a big thing about bringing players in, you know, that were on other teams. Is there anything that Woodhead gave you or you sat down with him to try and get extra insight with the Jets, what they do, what terminology?
Well, sure. I think anytime you get a player from we didn't the first time we played him because he really wasn't on the team until Saturday afternoon. We were already down in New York. But, sure, anytime you have a player on your team that's familiar with what your opponent's doing, you try to find out what their philosophy is, how they run certain plays, how they do certain things. Sure.
When you're playing a team that you're familiar with and that's had the recent success of the Jets, and you have a number of young players on your team, they got to know this is a big game. They got to know the implications of this game. Do you need to, focus them, calm them down during the week, or channel their energy in the right direction? How do you have your young guys approach this type of game?
Well, it seems like we've been talking about that since week one. So the closer you get to the end of the season, the more important every game is because there are so few of them left. And whether we were talking about the Pittsburgh game, the Indianapolis game, the Detroit game. Okay. Just seems each game gets bigger and bigger, and it's one fewer on the schedule from as you go march through the season, and So I think that's just it'll just be more of the same. You know, we're down to five to go is the division game, which we're back in the division now after a long break from it. We all know how important those division games are. Every game is important, but the division games are even more so. So you know, we'll talk about it, but I think, again, that's pretty much been the theme every week for us.
Is winning games sort of the antidote to that rookie wall that everybody talks about? Everybody talks about the, you know, you didn't play this many games in college and the wear and tear of the NFL season. Does winning solve any fear of a rookie hitting the wall?
I don't know. No, I think it's still, you know, I still think the length of the season and the focus and the concentration issues come up that they're just different in college. You just, it's a longer season. The players are better. The teams have more schemes, especially as you get to this point in the year, you're preparing for a lot of things. You know, we've seen all 11 of the Jets games, and that's a lot different than in preseason or in the second game of the year where we looked at preseason and their opener against Baltimore. You just have a lot more film, a lot more situations, a lot more information to process. So I do think that adds up for all players, not just rookies, but certainly for the rookies, because they haven't been through an NFL season. This is the first time through on it. And you know, you see things at the end of the year that you haven't seen earlier, and you've got to prepare for them.
This team last year, Jets, were number one in defense, number one running team, and this year they not number one defense, but they do seem to pass it more. Do they pass more, or is it that just at the end of the
definitely.
Game? Yeah, they seem to be much an open team.
Well, they've gotten a lot of production from Santonio Holmes, and of course with Cotchery and Braylon Edwards and Keller, those are, not to mention Brad Smith and Tomlinson, who's actually their leading receiver. You know, they've got a lot of guys that have been productive for them in the passing game. I think they're a more balanced offense. They throw it short, they throw it long, they throw screen passes, they run the ball. They've got a good running game with Tomlinson and of course Sean Green. So they've got good depth at the skill positions. But they're a lot more balanced than they were last year. So that therefore harder to defend.
Yeah, that's what makes it interesting, because the team down the stretch in those games, they won in overtime. The defense didn't come through, but the offense came through big, which they couldn't last year. And also, their special teams. This is a team that has offense, defense, and has real good special teams.
Right. Well, I think you take a look at a game like the Cleveland game, where they get Cleveland backed up. The defense came through, certainly, and you know, got them in three and out. Then Leonard had the punt return and set them up in good field position. Then they hit Holmes on the slant, and he broke a tackle and went all the way. So I think there are a number of those close games where they have the Houston or the what was the Detroit game was another game where they, you know, are down by 10 points with 4 minutes to go in the game, and they score, and then they, you know, hold Detroit three and out, get the ball back real quickly, and are able to take the game in overtime and win it. So I think that they have played good complementary football. They're strong in all three phases of the game. And, you know, we know we're going to have to play our best game of the year Monday night to win. We know that.
Is there something to, once you've done it once or twice, you feel confident you can do it again? I know we talked a lot last year about not winning on the road. You've had success winning out on the road this year. And it seems to be once you've got that confidence and you've done it, you know you can do it, and you play differently. I look at the Jets now. They get in these games late in the game. You think they're out of these games, and they find a way of pulling them out. The fact that they've done it once or twice with athletes, players out there, does that get into their head that we've been here before, we can do this again?
Oh, I'm sure it does. I really think in a game like this, I don't think confidence is an issue for either team. I think both teams have had enough success. They're confident in what they do and how their team plays. They feel like if they do a good job and they play well, that they'll be able to beat any opponent in this league. And really, that's the way you want your team feeling going into a game. Of course, it's not going to work out that way for one team, but I think, you know, that's the feeling you want going into it. And, you know, it hasn't worked out for us in every game, just like it hasn't worked out for the Jets. But in 9 of the 11, it has. You feel like going into the game, if you follow the game plan, execute well, don't make any big mistakes, that you'll win. And I'm sure they feel that way coming into the game. I'm sure we will, too.
It probably you can say the same for coaches. It doesn't seem like Rex Ryan lacks any confidence.
No. Well, nor should he. Well, I mean, they were in the AFC Championship game last year. They're 9-2. I mean, what is there not to be confident about? They've won a lot of games, and sure the players believe in what he's doing and what he's saying, and they should. They've had a lot of success, so I think that's the way you want a team to feel.
We've talked a little bit about the style and the difference of your style and Rex Ryan's style, and maybe a lot more similar than people think from the outside, but you're both, certainly this year, have been very successful with it. Is it a matter of just being honest with who you are, and that's where your team is going to buy into what you're doing? Because they're around you enough. They know who you are, that you can do what you do here, and he can do what he does out there.
Well, my experience with teams, Glenn, has been really that whoever the coach is, they can certainly be successful if they are themselves, and you know the team understands that's what the coach's personality is, and that's how he runs a team, and it's consistent with it. Certainly, I don't think you could have two more different coaches than Ted Marchibroda and Bill Parcells, and having worked for both of them. Their styles were dramatically different. Their personalities were dramatically different. But the thing about both those coaches was they were themselves. They coached the way they believed and what their personality was, and the team was fine with it, and they responded to both guys, but very different methods. So I think, you know, we see that in every sport. We see different types of coaches in all sports, and it's not the style as much as it is the person being consistent with who they are and the type of coaching and the way they put together the team. Certainly putting the team together in a way that's comfortable for the coach is a big part of it.
Along those lines, you and I were talking before we went on the air here about the Bill Parcells special that NFL Network did, NFL Films.
Mm-hmm.
And you were prominent in that piece, 90 minutes. I thought it was a terrific show. It gave you insight not only into Bill but the whole tree. And yet, I look at a lot of the guys off that tree, and they're very different. You, the Sean Paytons, I look at all these different people.
Charlie.
How is it that you all formed off that same tree? You picked some of the branches, I guess, and then you developed some on your own because you seem very different than Bill Parcells.
Well, I think that's...
Are you?
Well, yeah, I think all of us are different. All the people you mentioned, I think we're all different. And I must say, Glenn, there was a number of times when we sat around and we asked ourselves that question, too. You know, this is really working well, and we're all so different. How does it all happen? How does it come together like that? But, you know, in that case, I'd say, of course, it started at the top with Bill, and Bill did a great job of molding the team and bringing in players that he was comfortable with. And even though the coaches and in some cases the players had different personalities, there was a way that it all meshed together somehow. I don't know if you could explain exactly how it was, but the common denominator being competitiveness and, you know, desire to win and the commitment to work hard on the things that were most important on the football field. And it certainly worked for him, and he had a great career, and he had a lot of success at a number of different organizations. So I don't know how you can argue with that, but it was unique.
So that being said, what kind of attributes of yours do you see in your teams? Is there something about... your approach?
I mean, that's a tougher question, yeah. Steve. I think, you know, it's a lot easier for somebody on the outside to evaluate that. I just try to coach the team and get players in that, you know, I think will help our football team.
Why don't you write a book on that? You were around them for a while.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I got yelled at for 2 years. That's
good. That'd be a good book.
Rightfully so. How do you control?
You can't print those four-letter words that many times.
But you know what's funny?
Well, I got yelled at, too. I think that was one of the things that the players enjoyed the most in the piece in Bill Parcells, you know, of him yelling at me.
There was plenty of that. I will actually admit to taking a little bit of pleasure in seeing you get yelled at after I got yelled at by you.
Do you do a lot of the same stuff? Will you raise your voice at the coaches? Obviously, the players screw up, but you've said it many times after a game. Got to coach better. The coaches have screwed up. So do you get on them as well?
Well, I think all of us are accountable for everything we do. So, you know, we all make plenty of mistakes. I mean, I probably make more around here than anybody does. But, you know, we make mistakes as coaches. We make mistakes as scouts. We make mistakes as players. You know, you got to try to correct those and get them right and get them fixed and do a better job the next time, whatever it is. So, yeah, we're all accountable for that.
Can I go back on something you said earlier? You talked about consistency. And these guys have talked about it many times that, and Fred had a coach that he absolutely could not stand up in Buffalo.
Hanky Pie. We called him the brain cell because he had one.
Couldn't stand the guy. Right?
Singular.
Right. But you talked about consistency. And that seems to be the key. Is it, Bill, in that if you're the same and they know what they're going to get from week to week, your tone can go up and down, but the consistency is there. I see a lot of these coaches, and many of them are getting fired, because they do something outrageous. And I would think that as a player, a guy that's in there every single day in the trenches with this coach, if the guy starts flipping out on me, I'm sitting there going, what the hell is he doing? You know, they're not controlling anything here. How important is it for you to be consistent every day? Those guys know what they're going to get.
Well, again, I think, Glenn, every coach has their own style. And as Steve can attest to, there were a number of days with the Giants where you didn't really know what kind of mood Bill was in. And that was part of it. You walk into the building not knowing whether this is going to be a good day, or no matter what you do, it could be a bad day.
Yes.
And a lot of times that wouldn't manifest itself until out on the practice field, and then you could sometimes see which way the wind was blowing there. So, you know, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to any of the questions or any of the styles. I think as an individual, you have to find out kind of what works for you, what works for your team. It's not always the same with every team. I don't think you necessarily handle every team the same in a similar situation. You might do it a little bit differently depending on the dynamics of that particular group or that particular year or situation. So that's a hard question to answer.
Well, Rex's,
I think they're all different.
Yeah, Rex's style is much different.
Well, it's like
than
his
yours,
father.
Obviously. Yeah, much
well, I
different.
Think everybody's style is different. Right. I don't think any two people are the same. So each person handles a little bit differently. But again, even whatever your coaching style is or your philosophy is, I think sometimes it depends on your team or the players on that team and the dynamics that surround that team in that particular season at that particular time.
Bill, of all the trees you've been on, your dad, Macho Brodo, where do you think you formed what we see before us, you know, Bill Belichick? You took a little bit from everybody. You know, obviously you didn't take a lot from Tuna because he's 100 pounds heavier than you, but along the way you took some from everybody, right? Who do you think influenced you the most?
You know, Fred, certainly my dad had a big influence on me, but I would say that through my opportunity to observe coaches at the Naval Academy when he was coaching there, and there were a number of those, several different staffs and all the assistants on it, and then in my first 5 years in the league was five different coaches. It was Marcia Broda, and then Frisano at Detroit, Hudspeth, Red Miller, and Perkins. So those five head coaches, there were 70-some assistant coaches through those 5 years. So I had an exposure to a lot of people early in my NFL career, and also as when I grew up in Annapolis with the Navy coaches. So there were so many of them. I would say, you know, you learn something from everybody. There was some you look at, and there were different ways of doing the same things that were successful. And I'd say probably that's the biggest thing I learned was there are a lot of different ways to skin a cat, and you learn what works for you. There's no necessarily right or wrong way. There are some things you look at and you say, I'd say there's a wrong way. You look at it and say, well, that's wrong, or I wouldn't do it that way, or, you know, that's probably not the way not to do it, and that reinforces maybe some other things you believe in. So
I think the one thing that really was striking in the Bill Parcells documentary that they did was those pauses, and I've had those conversations. You obviously have had many of them. You guys have.
Never talked
but
to
a
me.
Couple of them with Bill where there's that pause where Bill's talking, and you know exactly what he's thinking, even though I didn't even know him that well. You know what he's thinking. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure, sure.
And then he fires it out after that. That, to me, was amazing. And they captured that, I thought. And instead of editing, which a lot of times they end up doing, they left all those pauses in there, which I thought was pretty neat. It showed his personality.
Right. Well, as NFL Films always does, whatever they do, it seems like it
pretty
turns
good.
Out great.
Yeah, pretty good.
But, you know, Bill's he's a very interesting person, and obviously a very successful coach. And you're right. I think they captured a lot of it in whatever it was, an hour and some. They did a great job of capturing his coaching career and pulling it all together in a very, very interesting way. So it was fascinating to watch, even having been a great, you know, a significant part of that. It was still very interesting to watch the way they put it all together.
And all right, so 20 years from now, we'll call you back and we'll talk about the one they do on you.
Okay.
All right.
Can we be in it? The fat guys on the radio?
Time now for today's Coach's Question of the Week, brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Now compare new and used cars side-by-side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriot Football. Since we were talking about it this afternoon, I thought I'd throw it out to you and give you the opportunity to comment if you'd like to. You saw that Josh McDaniels in Denver got fined $100,000 for apparently taping Steve Scarnecchia, taping a practice over in London of the 49ers. You have any comment? The fact that you got fined a little bit more, if I remember correctly, than $50,000.
It was a closed practice, too.
Already you've had two prominent ex-coaches, Bill Cowher and Tony Dungy, come out and say he thinks what Denver did, both of them, was worse than what New England apparently did. and therefore the fine should be heavier now for Denver. Any comment?
No, not really. Right now we're just focused on the Jets, so I don't really know what those details were.
Have you had any conversation with Josh since any of this happened?
You know, my focus right now is on the Jets, Glenn. We got a big game coming up Monday night, and I can't worry about the other 31 teams that are out there. I have enough trouble just trying to coach this one.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask you about the other 30, so I'll keep you out of that. Hey, congratulations on the win on Thursday. Good luck on Monday, and we'll be here on Tuesday next week.
All right, sounds good.
Have a good
one. Coach.
All right,
good luck, Coach.
Coach Bill Belichick, quick break. We're back with the Wiener Wine Line.